Alice, good morning.
Good morning, Nate.
Now, Alice, what sort of benefits do students get from learning a second language at schools?
The benefit, number one, the brain development. That learning a second language or third language actually helped with cognitive development. So research has shown that children's brains developed more comprehensively and in different ways from monolingual children. So that's one benefit. And then the second one is, as you said, the earning abilities of bilingual workers is actually higher than monolingual workers over a lifetime. And then the third one is, of course, that learning a language will help you to open new cultural worlds.
And well, Finnish Education Authority Pasi Salberg was one of the people that brought up this gap in the Gonski 2.0 scheme. What are the differences in language education between Finland and Australia?
Okay, so basically, in most part of the world, not just in Finland, that almost every child learns a second language. Okay. So in most cases, many children learn English as a second language. For example, Japanese children, Korean, Chinese, German, French, or South American children, many of them. So learn English as a second language. So Australian children have the advantage that they don't have to learn English as a second language. At least many of them. Many are learning English as a second language, okay, because of the language background of the family. So for Australian children, it is strange that they're only learning one language, English, and think that that's enough, when almost every child in most part of the world are learning two or three languages. For example, in European Union, is that many children are required by the education system to learn three languages by the time they finish secondary school.
Yeah, I used to live overseas, actually, and everyone I knew used to speak second languages, and I felt like I was at a disadvantage. Now, why do you think the Australian government hasn't included a focus on learning a second language in schools for the Gonski 2.0 scheme?
Well, that has a very long history. It's because there is a myth that Australians speak only English. And if you don't speak English, then that's a foreign language. Okay? But the 2016 census actually shows that at least one quarter of Australians speak a language other than English at home, right? So other languages, or what the government would say, other languages, are actually not foreign language. They are part of Australian linguistic landscape. And so there is that myth about, okay, so if I'm learning a language other than English, I'm learning it for the futures I live overseas. But we have actually forgotten that our society is changing, our nation is changing, that different languages are just part of Australia. So I think that's one reason. And then there is another reason, is that in school, the most popular languages are Japanese, French, German, Spanish, and Mandarin. Okay. Now, compare that with community languages. The most popular, the top five language groups in Australia: Mandarin, Arabic, Vietnamese, Greek, and Italian. So you see that there's actually almost no overlap of the language educations in school and language in the communities. So then the people see, like, if I learning French, they're thinking that I'm going to go to Paris and enjoy my croissant, right? But they're not thinking that maybe we should learn Vietnamese, Arabic, Greek and Italian, or Mandarin, to talk to my neighbors and to talk to other people in my communities. So I think that's, there's a kind of disconnection there. And then the other part is, like, because the school language is actually part of the curriculum, and then the community language are separate. The language education schools are mostly on Saturdays and Sundays. So that seems to be like, okay, these are only language educations for certain migrant children, for certain migrant groups. And so that's why the Gonski report doesn't quite touch on that language education. There's disconnection.
Well, that's quite interesting.
Yeah.
If you've just joined us here on The Daily this morning, we're speaking with Dr. Alice Chick, Senior Lecturer in Applied Linguistics and Education at Macquarie University, about whether Aussie kids should be learning a second language at schools. So, Alice, what are some of the languages that children should be learning in schools that would benefit them in the future?
I actually do not like to choose languages because every person will develop and go in different directions. That's why we are, as humans, are really interesting, right? So if we say that like you should only learn one particular language because of the possible economic benefit, that doesn't make a personal connection. The Australian government tried doing that, for example, in when we have the Asian centuries. Probably before your time when you were a kid, there was a strong push for Indonesians, Koreans, and Japanese and Mandarin, right? Now, the stress was that the government said, like, okay, now kids, learn these languages. When you grow up, you are going to have work and live overseas or have economic benefit. But for 7 or 8 years old, that's kind of difficult to connect. Like when I'm 25, I'm just going to go overseas, right? So it should be a language that makes children feel interested in learning and that they have some connection. So particularly if they see their neighbors speaking Arabic or they see their neighbors speaking Vietnamese, that should be the language that they should be encouraged to learn. Yeah, rather than necessarily saying that, oh, because in the futures, I think Mandarin Chinese is going to make Australia more prosperous. That's why everybody should learn that. I think learning language is very personal, so that's why we should encourage that kind of personal connection rather than necessarily economic benefit.
Right. And well, how do you think learning another language will help promote better cultural engagement at schools and, well, even in the community at large?
Well, it's very simple. It's the kind of open-mindedness and empathy. So for example, if you see a language other than English, you hear a language other than English, your first reaction will not be, oh, I don't know what that person is speaking. My first reaction could be like, oh, he could be saying something quite interesting. Okay, so can I ask, what is that? Or when you see signs or when you read text, then you have actually the natural curiosity. So you will extend it to other people. And actually the research has shown that a multicultural and multilingual neighborhood, people are more helpful because they think that like, okay, I could be in the same boat, that I may not understand the sign, I may not understand some instructions, I'm going to help that person. So social research has shown that people are happier living in a multicultural neighborhood.
Right, that's really interesting. Well, that's all the time we've got for. That's all the time we've got, rather. Alice, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me this morning.